is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, paying a great deal of attention to money flowing into private commercial space. But we start with money flowing into big space, NASA. Bob, you have a report that looks positive. NASA's not going to be cut. That's a good thing because its robot missions are miracles. What else can we say about the House? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, no, I would not say that NASA's not going to be cut. What I was saying in this essay was that despite the guaranteed screams of agony and squealing like a pig, guaranteed that we're going to hear from NASA officials and from Biden officials and from government officials about how, oh, my God, the Republicans are destroying NASA. They won't be able to do anything. We're going to die. That's all a lie. That, yes, there are going to almost certainly be some cuts to NASA's budget based upon what the Republicans now intend to do and say they're going to do. We'll see if they actually do it. That track record says no. But they say they're going to be doing major cuts, actual cuts, not reductions in the increase, but actual cuts across the board in the federal budget in the House. And, of course, then that goes to the Senate, and the Senate can make changes, but it's going to be hard to get it through the House if they raise the numbers. So they're proposing major cuts. But the worst the cuts can be at NASA, absolutely the worst they could possibly be, would simply bring NASA's budget down to what it was for almost all the last decade. And since generally inflation hasn't been that bad, they'll just put them back to where they were before, and they were building SLS and funding their commercial program as well and doing the planetary programs with that money. So it is not going to kill NASA in the slightest. The likelihood that the cuts are going to be as high as 30%, though, is very unlikely because the way the Republicans are doing this is that they're going to divide up the budget into 12 subcommittees and the Appropriation Committee. This is how they used to do it traditionally for a century plus. And each of those subcommittees will have an area of the budget to review, and they've been given allocations about how much they have to cut in their area of expertise. And the subcommittee that's handling NASA covers both commerce, justice, and science. And so they can allocate the 28.8% cut that they have to do across those three areas. And so knowing the Republicans, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they slash Justice Department much more than they slash science and NASA. And so I would expect the cut's not even close to what the worst number is. And even when they happen, it's not going to hurt.
Does the science include NIH and other aspects of scientific
inquiry? Yeah, NOAA, so forth. I don't have the full list because, you know, it's complicated. NIH might be in a different area. I have to check. But I know NOAA is there. And a lot of the science research that goes on is there. And so that's the thing. There's going to be a lot of political infighting. But the Republicans are very firm about the cuts. And so, you know, the Democrats, for example, will want the science spent. And there's going to be a lot of pressure to keep commerce spent. The one department that might not have a lot of political power right now is justice. So it might get like a 50-60% cut, and everything else won't.
It would be fun to come up with the number of what it would cost to do by the federal budget everything that commercial space is doing. In nanotechnology, in Starship, all of that. I wonder what that number is that no one could afford.
It would be, as a general rule, private enterprise does this stuff. Has for the last year, I've been tracking this year. I did it in Capitals in Space when I compared the cost between SpaceX and SLS. Private enterprise generally does it for a tenth the cost. Literally, 10% the cost. They're able to do it, and they usually do it faster. That's generally the pattern. Now, that might be only in particular cases, and maybe overall they do it for a third the cost. But either way, they do it gigantically less, which is why NASA has room here. Not only did I point out more than a decade ago that they could cut significantly, cut and still accomplish more if they got rid of the waste in the NASA, but with the advent of using commercial space, they're getting more done for less. So they have more margin now. So NASA's not going to be hurt by these cuts by any means. And so when you hear the government screaming and then it's amplified by the mainstream press that loves to do this, don't pay attention.
Axiom has delayed a space station. What does it look like?
This could be serious for Axiom. You know, there are five different private American companies or consortiums proposing and building, they say, space stations, their own private space stations. Axiom of all those is the only one that's starting out attached to ISS. They intended to launch a module in 24 to attach to ISS and then add additional modules thereafter until they reached a point where they could operate independently and they'd be detached from ISS and have their own space station. Now, they were going to send the first module up in 24 and they were looking to get this station operating independently and able to detach by 28, 27. Well, they've now revealed, and this was buried in a space.com article. It wasn't, they buried it, and I pointed out. Their first module is not going to launch until 26. That's a 2-year delay. And then they want to send the second module up the next year and the third module in 28. And then, quote, a thermal power module is scheduled before 30 that will allow the space station to detach from ISS and become free flying. Well, 30 is the absolute longest ISS can stay up before the international partnership says they're going to deorbit it. So Axiom is on a kind of tight schedule here. They've got to get their part of their space station attached to ISS capable of working on its own before ISS goes away. And they're now getting to a tight situation. It could be that they might have to pay the international partnership, including NASA, to either keep operating the station longer, or maybe work out a deal where they operate the station, or maybe buy parts of the station. You know, it's going to be an interesting situation. They're definitely now much their timeline is no longer has less margin. Let's put it that way.
Rocket Lab, Wallops Island, secret mission. This sounds like a Hardy Boys novel. What is it?
Rocket Lab, this is a demonstration that the stockholders in Rocket Lab have made a good investment. Because Rocket Lab has a rocket right now called Electron, which it launches small fat satellites with. Oh, about 6 months ago, they proposed and won a contract from the military to reconfigure Electron on some launches to be suborbital to do hypersonic test flights for the military. Now, this is the speculation of what this secret launch is going to be. The launch is going to happen sometime between June 15th and the 20th. There will be no live stream, no press access. We probably will not find out what happened until afterward, but maybe of a limited amount. And the article I linked to speculated this could be that hypersonic program. And all the point I'm making here is that very quickly, Rocket Lab figured out a way to turn its assets, find another profit center for its assets. It reconfigured an orbital rocket to be a suborbital test bed for things like hypersonic test flights. Now, we don't know that's what's going on here, but it sure seems likely because the timing is right, John.
This headline in Bob's Behind the Black strikes me as one of his genius comic remarks. Here it is. Tomorrow's final launch of Europe's Ariane 5 rocket delayed indefinitely. Bob, explain why this is funny.
Well, I know you find it humorous, John, and there is a certain black humor about it. Ariane Space has been trying to replace the Ariane 5 rocket with the Ariane 6 rocket, and it began building the Ariane 6 in 2015, that's 8 years ago. And here we are, and the original plan was there'd be an overlap between the Ariane 5 and the Ariane 6. They'd be launching both for a few years, and then Ariane 6 would take over completely. Well, here we are, the last launch of the Ariane 5 rocket, and the Ariane 6 is not ready to launch yet. And it's probably at least a year away, I think. Ariane Space and the European Space Agency has no real big rocket to launch. But it makes it even worse. This particular rocket is about to launch. It's the last Ariane 5. It's been around for a quarter century, this rocket, been somewhat successful rocket. And prior to the launch, they discovered, quote, three prior pyrotechnical transmission lines that are associated with Ariane 5 solid rocket boosters had issues. And they're going to have to check that out. That can actually force them to take the whole rocket apart in the assembly building to get at those transmission lines. Let me go right to the follow-up stories. Now, we have two different stories this week from last 2 days from Ariane Space saying that they've signed deals with two different rocket startups, PLD in Spain and Orbex in the United Kingdom. And what Arianespace has done here is it signed agreements with both those startups, they haven't launched yet, to study the possibility of using those rockets to launch payloads for Arianespace's customers. And what this is just tying into what NASA did when it switched to private space. Arianespace used to build things like the Ariane 6, Ariane 5 rockets. Well, it's done a bad job. It hasn't gotten it done. And so Europe has told Arianespace, we're now going to look for private enterprise to do things for us. We're not going to build it ourselves. And what happened with the Ariane 5 here is an example of that and the Ariane 6. And so Arianespace now has signed up with two rocket startups right in this past week. They are not ready to launch yet. But this is very clearly a shift away in Europe away from building things themselves and becoming the customer instead to buy it from European private companies. And it's a really good sign. It's coming very late for Europe, very, very late, but at least they're doing it.
I just picture Ariane 5 on the launch pad year after year being delayed indefinitely. The vines are climbing the side. You know, it is a tropical climate. And they're still waiting to launch the last Ariane 5 as reality has moved on to deep space. Okay, fine. Now we go to Cape Canaveral. And these are wonderful photographs. I recommend everyone look at Behind the Black. Who took these photos, Bob?
This is taken by a guy named who doesn't want his last name used, Jay, who's, I call him my intrepid stringer, because he provides me Twitter links to interesting little tidbits that I post every day in my Quick Space Links post at the end of the day. And he, last week he wasn't around because he was in Cape Canaveral at Kennedy doing work on infrastructure there. He wouldn't want to go more details. And while he was there, though, he had time to run around and take pictures and I posted them on Behind the Black with his comments. And his impression is the same as mine, which is, and this is getting back to Arianespace and private versus government operations. When the shuttle shut down in 2011, everyone at Kennedy and in Florida said, oh, my God, our economy is going to collapse. There won't be any shuttles anymore. We're going to die. And instead, what Jay's pictures show is that Cape Canaveral is booming right now with multiple private companies building facilities and building things. And in fact, it's much better off than it was under the shuttle because it's more exciting what's going on. Because there's innovation, new things, and new creative ideas. And so it's exciting.
Competition,
and so that's
Bob.
What this picture
what we're
look, shows.
What we're looking at is competition.
Yes, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah, John, for example, I thought about this. These pictures show multiple different companies doing things against each other, competitive for business. In the past, all these facilities would have been all run by NASA, and there'd be one Soviet-style operation with no competition, which means no excitement, no nothing interesting.
And there's 39A. Bob, what is 39A? Why is it famous?
39A is the launch pad. They used it for the Apollo missions. Then the shuttle launched from 39A for decades, one of its launch pads. About a decade plus ago, SpaceX leased it when the shuttle was shut down, reconfigured it, and used it to launch its rockets, including the Dragon and manned missions. And so Jay got one picture of SpaceX's facilities with 39A in the distance, and he says he was surprised how close he could get, and that's traditional with SpaceX. You know, you can get within 100 feet of a rocket launch site outside fence lines in many cases.
There's more to these photographs. Blue Origins looks like a resort in the Dominican Republic. And SpaceX...
I noticed this about these pictures. The Boeing and the Blue Origin facilities are beautifully landscaped, yes, or have wonderful murals on the outside. They spent a lot of money, you know, making it look wonderful and particularly great. And then there's SpaceX's facility, which looks like, you know, a factory in the industrial section of town.
It's a backup to Amazon in on the Mexican border, Bob. That's what it looks like.
Okay, maybe so, John.
No frills whatsoever. There is a grass plot outside, an American flag painted on the side, and it says SpaceX. And then you squint and you go, is that 39A? And you realize,
yes,
hey, that's SpaceX.
Right.
They have the primary territory. All right. WEF, I read it, decides to, its business is running space too. I thought to myself, WEF, have I heard of this? WEF. It couldn't be the World Economic Forum. It is. Bob, what are they up to?
The World Economic Forum, which wants to tell us all what to do, how to live our lives and eat bugs as well, and not own anything, has now decided and released its proposed set of guidelines for mitigating space junk in orbit. And it had about 27 companies.
30 seconds, go ahead.
It had about 27 companies sign on, but SpaceX and Viasat did not. Some of these ideas might be good, but what business is of these companies to do this kind of stuff? What business is it of the World Economic Forum to tell us what to do here? It should be up to the companies themselves, John.
World Economic Forum, can you picture Davos in a rocket ship blasting off for Mars? That's where they're going with this. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.